The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Thank you for the good times. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the joy you've given me. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, a program designed to promote a positive work environment. Your hosts are Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. In this hour, you will be motivated to motivate, increase morale, productivity, loyalty, and reduce turnover. Learn how some companies get it while others don't. Now, here are your hosts, Roy and Max.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, the show that's all about building relationships, inspiring greatness, and creating a workplace where people can thrive. I'm Max Brown, along with my colleague Roy Saunderson, and we're from the Recognition Management Institute, delighted that you'd be with us here again today. Roy, how are you?
I'm doing well. I can't believe we're venturing out into the social media world. I think I was just sharing with you a little earlier, I feel like an amoeba in the Twitter sphere, but we've got an incredible leader in the fields with us today.
Well, we certainly do, and when you talk about influence in social media, I know a lot of people are trying things in social media, but it actually becomes more of a billboard or an advertisement, hoping that they can just spray out more stuff because it's free, and they're not getting much traction.
Right.
And I think they're confused by that. Mm-hmm. I think our guest today will take us much further in that discussion to say, why is it so hard to get your message out if you're just a billboard or advertising? How do you make it more interactive, more of a relationship?
Sounds good.
Yeah, this is going to be good. So let me introduce him. Our guest today is Sean Gardner. According to Twitter Grader, he is one of the Twitter elite of the top 100 out of 10 million people graded on the service. So Sean has a few things going right for him in social media. He's also known on Twitter as Tomorrow Night. And he helps and works with lots of different groups as a social media correspondent. He blogs for Huffington Post and others. His work has appeared in BuzzFeed, The Stimulist, Mission Hot Mama, Womentality magazine, and Essence. He's lectured at leading colleges and universities and has collaborated on small businesses. And, of course, with more than 20 years in marketing and public relations, he's been an advisor and consultant to institutions of higher learning and community organizations. He's done a lot of work in the area of speech writing and promotional campaigns for charities and nonprofits, and he's a big fan of SeeYourImpact.org, which we will talk about more as well. And he's currently working on his own release of his first children's book. Sean, welcome to the show, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you, guys. Hope you guys are having a good one this morning.
Great. Thank
absolutely.
You very much. Yeah, absolutely,
right.
For sure. And, you know, give us an idea of your background a little bit, Sean. Where did this come from? What led you to social media? Maybe let's begin there, and then we'll go. We'll see where this takes us.
Sure. Well, I actually am 41 years old. I know that, you know, when you look at me online, I perhaps, you know, look as though I'm maybe like 25 or 26. I don't know what that's from. Maybe I guess I just do some good exercise or, you know, I eat well, but. After college, I entered college at 25, and that was just after maybe 7 years after high school of really helping out the family. So, basically back in about roughly 1995 to 2000, I was at Clark Atlanta University. So after Clark Atlanta University, I decided to get into the mortgage field, and it was really more a financial decision, mm-hmm. And I was about maybe 2001, and then there was a big refi boom in 2002. So from 2002 to roughly 2007, I was in that particular field. But that field, of course, just about everybody knows, really the bottom fell out, mm-hmm. And so I moved over to I worked for a federal contractor here in the Northwest, actually in Tacoma, Washington. And it was basically a federal halfway house, if you will. It paid very well, but it's not what I wanted to do. So what I did is I basically used whatever free time I had there to get into Facebook, Twitter, and, you know, some of the other popular social media platforms. And about, say, 09 is when I really started to get into everything more robustly. Because, you know, I really started bumping into lots of individuals in the tech world. I'm not a tech geek. I'm more of an art geek, if you will. But I have a lot of tech geek friends. And they just said, man, you need to be in social media to really promote yourself. So I just really made that switch from the mortgage field to working for a federal contractor, and then just kind of said, look, let me go ahead and jump into social media to see what it's about. And so basically, about, say, what, 09, my plan was to, I'd say roughly about, what, 3 years, I would build up enough followers and clout in social media to blog for the Huffington Post.
That was a stated goal you wanted to have from the beginning?
That was one of the big ones, because, you know, I really respect Arianna Huffington in terms of what she's done. And, you know, I completely love that, you know, that online magazine. I mean, it's truly maybe the hottest property on the net still.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, hey, 3 years I'll block for them, and then within 3 years also I'll have enough following, if you will, and clout with people to just kind of come out with my children's book. But little did I know that I would be blogging for HuffPost roughly, what, 7 months into my Twitter campaign, and that was just really meeting the right people, you know, sort of engaging folks online. And I started with them roughly that summer, the summer of 09, and so I've continued with them, and, you know, basically joined Smitio, which is another industry blog, you know, for marketing, and just started doing some guest blogging. So it all really started with me just kind of saying, I need to be in social media. This is hot. And I just kind of basically infused my personality in social media, connecting, sharing, that sort of thing. And I think it's paid off.
Well, it certainly has in many ways, but I think you make an important distinction, and maybe we should talk about that, in that, a lot of people have tried to get into social media or are still in it, but they're scratching their heads even a couple of years later saying, man, it's not working for me. So how did you become so influential in it, and what made it so successful for you versus those, you know, who have been scratching their heads for a couple of years not getting anywhere?
Well, you know, I think that there are individuals who approach it, they approach social media just like they approach life from different angles. I know people personally who want to do everything themselves. They don't want any help on anything, and they don't want to even admit that they need help. I mean, because it's almost like admitting that you need help and that you don't know everything is like a sin. Like, no, I know everything. I can do it all myself. No, I mean, at some point you do need some help. And I can tell you, I do not know how to tweet for like 4 months. It wasn't that I was just putting stuff on there, but I might have just kind of put maybe some words on there with the link. And there was a gentleman up in Vancouver, British Columbia right now. He's from British Columbia. And he tweets under the name Flipbooks. And Flipbooks is awesome. So Flipbooks and I think I might have run into him on Twitter right when he and I had about the same amount of followers, maybe like 2,500. And this was like in the summer of 09. So he just kind of, you know, DM'd me. He sent me a private message, you know, a direct message for those of you out there who are not on Twitter. It's a private message. And he just said, look, you know, I really like your content, but now let me go ahead and tell you how you can increase your followers, how you can, you know, kind of reach out to different communities using, you know, hashtags, if you will, and then, you know, how you can really engage people as well. So if you use hashtags correctly, if you do those types of things, then you're, you know, truly going to have some success. And it really worked for me. It truly did. So about the time that I really got better and more, you know, proficient in connecting with people and sort of less shy, if you will. Right about the same time, I joined Huffington Post, and it just kind of things just kind of, you know, exploded, if you will, and just kind of, you know, built up. But I just really started connecting with people all over the world. That's the great part of social media. That I know people may want to kind of stay within a particular state, if you will, you know, here in America or their particular maybe hemisphere. But mm-hmm. you know, if you have good content and you have something that I really think, you know, the people who follow me, you know, should hear, or just something that I like personally, that I'm going to retweet you. I'm going to say, hey, that was a great comment. That was a great link. You know, where did you get that? You have to engage, and you don't necessarily have to give up feeling great about where you're from, be it your country, your region.
Sure.
All you're doing really is just kind of expanding, you know, your, you know what I mean? So really it. And I think that's what really has fed really some success, if I can call it that, in social media.
Well, it's interesting. You know, so what are some of these places you reached out to and started to create these conversations? I'll start with a quote of a guy named Unmarketing. He's very influential on Twitter as well, and very prolific. Yes, God's awesome. I saw him just this week, and he said, you know, a conversation on Twitter, it's a conversation. It's not dictation. You've got to reach out and have these relationships, much like you're saying, Sean. And so what did you do? What kind of hashtags were you getting into, and how were you using them properly?
Right. Well, one of the things that Flipbooks taught me, and his real name is Blair Siminoff. He's absolutely the coolest, nicest guy you'll ever truly meet. One thing that he actually taught me and teaches everybody who will listen is, look, you basically start with, and again, this is just a particular style, and that's why I like social media, that, you know, because there's no right or wrong way to use it, you know what I mean? There's just different styles. And now one of the ways that he does it that I really like is he starts with the title of the particular link, then he'll go with the link, and right behind the link will be the hashtag. So let's say if it's something on health, you start with the title, the link, and then right behind that, it's almost like you're hiding the hashtag. You're sort of putting it there, so maybe health, maybe fitness, and then there's a particular style. You know, you go with via or that slash, and then you give attribution to where you found it, be it CNN health or, you know, men's health, that sort of thing.
And so there's a style to it.
Oh, as there's a complete style, and I do like what Scott does. One of the things I wrote a post some months ago, and one of the things that because I actually put him in it. What I was saying about Twitter and social media is that, and I think Twitter was the focus. That you have individuals who have what they call more informational feeds. My feed is more informational. Flipbook's feed is more informational. But, you know, Scott Stratton, Mr. Unmarketing, his feed is more conversational. And it doesn't mean that he's doing it wrong and I'm doing it right or anything like that. He just found his niche. Now, one thing that I can say is that maybe after six or seven, maybe, you know, a cluster of links and two quotes, I will, again, engage four or five people in a row saying, thank you, I really appreciate that. You know, so it's a mix of engagement along with the type of style that has really worked for me for the last 2 years.
Perfect.
And absolutely.
Well, it's great, and I'm loving that we're having this conversation. Very, very tactile in how to get your message out there, how to create a social media that actually works. And let's continue this conversation in just a moment. We do have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Sean Gardner, one of the Twitter elite out of 10 million. He's one of the top 100. You're listening to Real Recognition Radio on the Voice America Business Channel with myself, Max Brown, and my colleague and good friend, Roy Saunderson. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Relationships are the core of great businesses. Your employees are critical to the success of your business. Rideau helps you build positive relationships with your people. Rideau helps you inspire greatness in your people. We do it through the power of recognition and rewards. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. We're committed to our clients and our people. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio. I'm Roy Saunderson along with my friend Max Brown, and our guest today, Sean Gardner, one of the top 100 most influential people on Twitter. Sean, I feel like I need to get a big, big, long straw to suck up all this information here, you know, because you're throwing fast and furious, and I was saying, like, I feel like I'm an amoeba in the Twitter sphere space. Here you are at 110. I just had a look before the show, and I'm like 350,000 plus whatever. It's down the ladder. What advice would you give to people that can feel so overwhelmed with all of this? Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you can give that can kind of just move us forward, move each person just up the scale?
I think the basic thing is, like, when people do these lists, and there's always like a list that people say, you know, the top people you should follow, the folks you should follow. Now, I can tell you, when I first started, this was like, you know, this was basically in months before I had joined Huffington, I used to do those posts that say, you know, these are folks, a couple of folks who you should follow and so forth. But I actually took that title, you should follow, out, only because, you know, it's almost like you're pressuring the reader, oh, my God, you need to press the follow button. So here's what I would say. You know, if you're looking at a list that's telling you these are people you should follow, I think what I think a person should do is just to kind of like sift through the list and see if this is someone who engages. Now, if you're somebody who engages, right, mm-hmm. and somebody you like that, then you can actually follow that person. Now, there are feeds that are all linked. I mean, and again, this is not a right or wrong way of doing it, but
right.
there are people who do that. And if that's what you like and you don't like a lot of conversation, then – you know, you can go for that. But I think just kind of follow according to your interest. And, you know, if you do that as opposed to, you know, feeling the pressure of following someone or following people just because most of the people you know are doing it, then, you know, that, and, you know, you could wind up following somebody who goes against, you know, everything that you either believe in or just the way that you use it all together, you know? So,
right.
But it's a live and learn kind of thing. There are people, I can tell you, who've never engaged me, who do follow you. And, you know, follow doesn't mean that they believe in what you're doing or that they are going to engage. So if you like engagement, then just follow according to that or whatever particular way you want to use it.
Yeah. I'm liking these kind of terms where you've talked about informational, conversational, engagement mm-hmm. feeds, and I think
right.
that's a good strategy right there. Now,
right.
how do you take all this whole trying to kind of massage the influence, if you will, and looking at these tools like Clout and Twitter Grader.
Sure.
How do you view those and their usage with social media?
Well, you know, I actually did this post back in January, and it was a Happy New Year's post for something I wrote, you know, that was in the Huffington Post. And one of the things I put in it, really because I was hoping, you know, that this would be the case, is I was just saying that if 2010 was the year of influence, 2011 would be the year of how are you using your influence. Mm-hmm. Now, what I was saying is not that, that you know, discussions of influence are insignificant because, you know, if somebody, let's say if you're an engineer and you see something that says these are the most influential people in the field of engineering, you know, it doesn't matter if you have never heard of the people or not, you know, you're still going to want to know more about it just because of the way the list is, you know, structured, the title, and so forth. Mm-hmm. But what I say is that, okay, there are people who ask the question, you know, how influential are you? You know, how more influential are you this year than last year and so forth? Those are not bad questions. Those are not insignificant questions. It's just that me personally, I like to ask, how are you using your influence to make an impact around the world? Or how are you using your influence to make an impact on others' lives? And I'm a very positive person, so I look for positive ways that people are doing that. I mean, it could be, you know, certainly not just, you know, work with the social good, maybe like, you know, a charity or some sort of nonprofit. It could be anything that's positive. And so that's my question. I do believe that these sites, you know, I know that Twitter Grader is a little different from Clout, and then there are some others as well that are different. They have their own particular, you know, particular algorithms and things that they take into consideration. Hey, take it all in, look at it, sift through it. If it doesn't relate to you, that's cool. If it does, then that's something that you embrace.
Yeah.
But me personally, yeah, I think if nothing wrong with asking questions about influence, but I think if you can connect it with action, because, you know, just like, you know, if you say that you have it or people say that you have something, you know, influence, you know, what good is it if you're not going to do something with it?
Yep.
You know, I don't want to tell you what you should do with it, but but in the back of my mind, I'm saying, okay, what is this person doing to connect action with that influence to make an impact, you know, in a particular field or in people's lives? So that's sort of the way I approach the issue.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, social media is really exploding now, and now we've got Google Plus on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think its impact is going to be on Twitter and Facebook in general?
Well, you know, I'm laughing because whenever something new comes out, right, you got individuals who jump on it early, and they make these wild predictions like, oh, my God, Google Plus is going to destroy Twitter and Facebook next year. Okay, I saw that. Okay, and then I saw what somebody actually put on their Google Plus feed. Oh, my God, this means that all blogs are rendered useless right now. Okay, now hold on. The guy actually wrote that. And so what this reminded me of was back in 2009 when somebody had messaged me saying, Sean, why do you have a blog? Dude, you know Twitter's going to destroy blogs, right?
Yeah.
And that's what because remember now, Twitter used to be called a micro-blogging site.
That's right.
And so when Biz Stone was at the company, which is, you know, I think it was maybe a year or so ago, he said, in fact, it's not even just a year or so, it was a year and a half ago. He was in the Huffington Post, and he wanted Twitter to be known as an information network, not microblogging.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I, you know, but again, I think whenever these popular platforms come out, you have individuals who make these wild predictions. And I think if you can get beyond the predictions about, you know, how it's going to destroy Facebook or Twitter and you know, stuff with blogs, which is just nonsense. I mean, grossly premature. I think if you get past that, you can get down to the meat of what Google Plus offers. I do like the engagement. I'm kind of warming up to it. It has, you know, something called a hangout, you know, where you can see everybody's on video. I love that video hangout feature. It's absolutely awesome. And there's just some other things as well. You know, there's the plus one feature, which is, you know, which is very good. And I think this is good for Google because, you know, Google had a series of just kind of hiccups, like, you know, one of which was Google Buzz. Google Buzz was not the buzz. Google Buzz was called, in fact, I'm sure you remember this, it was something saying that Google Buzz was going to destroy email. It was the evolution of email. No. So, you know, just get beyond that. Go on it and just determine for yourself if this is something that you like. Now, me personally, I have those three accounts, Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and I also, you know, do LinkedIn. I think if you have that, if you have some diversity on all of those platforms, regardless of how many followers you have, don't get beyond that. If you have a presence and you're engaging, then I think it's, you know, it's going to really work for you. So I definitely know that Google Plus is going to work for Google. I believe that it's going to help them with games, because I think they said they're going to have games that are coming. Games are coming to Google Plus, and then what this means is that they're going to compete with Facebook, and they could really hit Facebook, and not destroy them, but they could really hurt their bottom line in that area. So, you know, in that way, I think we're just kind of moving into another really great era in social media of just some really cool, you know, some cool innovation, and people just need to look at it like that, as opposed to what sites are going to be destroyed. That's not very helpful for the social discourse. I that's my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm. Wow, and it's certainly very exciting times for all of us as we explore social media. And I'm sure in our next section of our show, we can kind of go further into how we need to prioritize our time a little bit on managing this. But we're going to take a quick break here, Sean. So join us back for our wonderful listeners back in a few minutes on Real Recognition Radio as we continue to ask our guest today, Sean Gardner, more about the power and the influence of social media. For Real Recognition Radio, this is Roy Saunderson and Max Brown.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
The next generation of employees is more sophisticated about recognition. They want to make a difference to their organizations, to their environment, and to their world. Rideau offers a full suite of recognition and reward solutions tailored to meet our clients' needs strategically, technologically, and globally. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and myself, Max Brown. And, of course, our guest today, Sean Gardner, the Twitter Elite 100. That's the man. He's on the phone with us today, and he's got a lot of energy and excitement, and I love it. You know, Sean, I just read an interview, actually, and interestingly, I found this on Twitter. It was tweeted by the CEO, Peter Aceto, the CEO of ING Direct out of Canada. And the title of this survey was Executives Still Don't Know What the Heck to Do with Social Media.
Wow.
It came out just a week ago, but according to a Harris Interactive survey, more than half or more than 300 senior executives at Fortune 1000 companies said that social media is a component of their customer service operations, but nearly two-thirds said that the marketing department is solely responsible for that social media management,
right,
and that a full three-quarters didn't know how many employees were dedicated to customer care via social networks. So the executives didn't have a good handle on, you know, they knew that it was a job of marketing, but they don't know what's going on with it. And here's the big statistic. It said 57% of C-level executives see social media as a means of inviting customer input, getting leads, addressing complaints, and customer satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about 57%, you know, and their suggestion is this should be a whole lot higher. There's 13% that still cling to the belief that social media is just a fad and that it's not important to their company's success.
Right. You know, here's the way I look at it. I think that when you look at social media and a lot of the innovation, a lot of it is with a lot of young people. You see, so young people and youth, and certainly a lot of older geeks, too. I'm not saying it's just exclusively young people. But there are a lot of young people who are pushing it and are, you know, driving this medium. And, yes, I think it just scares a lot of executives. And what should happen is this. I believe that these executives should do two things. One, I believe that they need to have a personal account and, you know, maybe, I don't know, whether it's 5 times or 10 times a week or something, try to engage your customers. Because people will know that, you know, like if you're the VP of this company or the, you know, the particular CEO of this company, people are going to know it. The word's going to get around. One particular individual I can tell you who is awesome, her name is Porter Gale. She's the VP. You guys should have her, too, perhaps one day. She's the VP of marketing at Virgin America. And she's amazing. She, you know, I actually follow her, and, you know, she's RT'd me and said thank you. And I see her really, you know, RT'ing and engaging other people and not just simply, you know, talking to individuals who have a great deal of influence or individuals who may have a particular title. She really connects with lots of people. And she understands that, you know, if you really want to have a seat at the table, the social media table, you have to be in it. You can't say, well, you know, this is something I just, you know, I want to go ahead and lead that to the marketing. That's pretty scary when you, when your CEO doesn't have an account or doesn't use the account that they have, or just senior executives do that, and only just kind of leave that to a marketing department. I think if you want to engage customers, you have to realize that social media is one of the ways that people are, you know, communicating with each other and would like their favorite companies to communicate with them. That's just a fact.
Yep. Well, and you interview so many different, you know, influencers out there. Who else stands out for you, and why do they stand out?
Wow. Well, I actually have a series in Huffington Post. Actually, I'm very proud of this. It's called Twitter Powerhouses. Mm-hmm. And the entire series started, you know, back in January of last year. And it just started from a conversation that I had with another Huffpost blogger. Her name is Yasmin Beitoulahi. She's a great marketer in Southern California. So we just say, you know, we need to do two things. And, again, this is answering your question, but just bear with me. She just said we need to profile individual people that we like and the people who we believe should have, you know, wider appeal on the site. So we profiled some Twitter veterans and some Twitter newbies, individuals who are building on the foundation that some of the Twitter veterans you know, at late. So one of the people, I guess you could say, you know, one of the Twitter legends is Glenn Gilmore. And Glenn Gilmore is, God, he's, what can you not say about this man? He's a marketer. He travels the world. I think Time Magazine called him a man of action. He's just a completely awesome guy. And I profiled him maybe, last May. So certainly you have Glenn Gilmore, Kim Sherrill, who is not only a great filmmaker, but who started something called Art Walk. You know, where it engages artists from all over the world. I mean, you can see art from all over the world. Her and then also Paul Steele and J.D. Andrews, two of the top travelers, if you will, on Twitter. When people say travelers, they say J.D. Andrews and Paul Steele. So those individuals, and then, of course, you even have some individuals who are not necessarily on, like, the big Twitter billboard, Kathy Myers, also Chris Zerbader. Just a really great group of individuals I've been able to profile. And, you know, I don't know how long it's going to, you know, going to go, but I like, you know, the response that people have you have given me, the ideas and everything. And so people just seem to like it. I think you just have to really engage the right type of influencers, not somebody who people say is an influencer, you know?
Big point.
Yeah.
Big distinction, too. And it seems like the people you're talking about, is there any commonality among them or what they're doing out there that make them stand out in your mind?
Yes. They all share. They share and they engage. Now, what really... You know, of course, what really makes you, you know, kind of perturbed and irritated is when people write books and write articles about, you know, how you have to share, how you have to do this and how you have to do that, and then that's not something that they do in their own.
I totally agree.
It's like, are you kidding me? But you just said this on page 56, and I don't see this, you know? So, I mean, you know, wow. But no, these individuals share, and that is again that's to me the biggest secret to the success. I know that Glenn has told me that many times and said this in the interview, that the biggest secret to success on Twitter is sharing. And again, that's, you know, whether it's sharing somebody else's a link from, you know, someone else's page, whether it's, you know, sharing, you know, a particular idea or a conversation that you had that really moved you, or just simply engaging, because when you engage, you are sharing yourself, you know?
Yep.
Those types of things. So I think it's just really gets down to sharing and engaging. And again, it's just how you use Twitter. I tell everybody I like to educate, I like to empower, and I like to enlighten. And, you know, because I don't know everything, I am on Twitter also to learn. And when I learn, again, I share. And then there's a cycle once again, you know, so...
Well, I love it. Big points right there, the sharing and the – how important is appreciation and recognizing people out there in social media?
That is very big because, you know, if someone has, I don't know, like a job interview and, you know, and I see in the stream, it's, oh, listen, you know, I'm kind of nervous about this job interview. I don't know how I'm going to do. I just say, hey, relax. And I've done this many times, just say, you know, relax, you know, have fun. You know, do your homework and don't be nervous. You know, that kind of thing. So you have to give individuals a little bit of that. And again, you know, that goes a long way. It doesn't mean that, you know, maybe I don't know. It doesn't mean that they might get the job. But again, if your words, if you will, something that whatever you're saying to them could be the difference. You just truly never know. And the thing about Twitter is that tweets are forever. So they're not going away. They're going to be archived by the Library of Congress. So why would you want somebody to look back 20, 30 years and say, wow, why did he say that? Why did he type that in? No. Be as
such a
positive.
Big thing.
Yes. Yeah.
People forget that, don't they?
Yeah, it's a part of your legacy. That's what I'm on Twitter, you know. Well, even if you're on Twitter to really engage and to you know, promote and those kinds of things, you have to realize, too, that this is a part of your legacy. You know,
yep.
What you're doing online right now will speak for you long after you're gone. So you just want to be seriously as positive. positive and as substantive as you can be. It doesn't mean that everybody has to do it, you know, the same way, but just realize that what you're typing in there is forever. And if you can give someone that appreciation, that inspiration, and that push, why not, you know?
Absolutely. I completely agree. And what an opportunity as well, right? So we got to learn how to appreciate, how to recognize, and don't just preach it, do it, right?
You got it. That's right, because what you did, cause what you said on page 56, you're not doing it, you know?
Boy, I tell you, Roy and I, we've seen a lot of that, actually. You know, there's some really great books on the thoughts and the theories and stuff, but people just, they're not practicing what they preach, and that's... There's a lot to do. There's a lot more we can be doing. And boy, I can't agree more with what you're saying about that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I mean, there's some great scholars and great writers out there. I don't knock anybody for any of that, because we all have perspective and we all have, you know, a particular biases, you know, towards whatever it may be, different information. But again, you know, people are looking at you. People are it's almost like Twitter is just one of the great listening posts in social media. You know, Twitter now, you know, once you got Google Plus. Not don't just use it to post. Use it also to engage, obviously, but then also to just listen. And that's one of the things that when you look at a lot of the people I've profiled, they're just good listeners. They sit there, and whether it's an hour or 2 hours, they can get an understanding of what is important to someone. And then once you figure out what's important to people, you know how to really to engage them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, it's all the skills that we would have learned or should have learned before social media come true today in social media as well.
Absolutely. No, I'm a firm believer definitely in just using popular platforms just to move the social media conversation forward. And when you, to me personally, now when you can connect what you're saying and writing with what you're saying with what you're writing, you substantively move the medium in general forward.
Yeah.
But when there's a disconnect, you know. Yeah.
No, I get you. Yeah, when there's a disconnect, keep going. Tell me, yeah, it just doesn't make sense, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I'm because I know that, like, with Google Plus, with Facebook, with Twitter, with LinkedIn, I try to be as consistent as I can. So, you know, if you are positive on two of them or three of them, right? Then it makes sense to be consistent on the fourth one or the tenth one or however many sites that you're on. But again, it gets back to how you use it, what your motivation is, what your agenda is, and I think once you figure that out, you know, again, using it as a listening post too, then you can figure out who to follow and engage, because you're not just listening or you're not just following a list. You really
That's
are.
Right.
You know, I urge people, they can just look at a person's feed. You don't have to follow that feed. You can study that feed.
Sure.
And then say, hey, this is somebody I need to follow and engage. Absolutely. So.
Well, Sean, this hour is going blazing fast, but we haven't even talked about how you're using social media to create awareness around advancing a cause, like a good cause, like seeyourimpact.org. So we have to take a quick break, but I hope we can discuss that at least for a moment or two before we end the show today.
Sure.
I'm loving this conversation. We have to take this break, but you're listening to Sean Gardner, one of the Twitter League for Real Recognition Radio. This is Max Brown and Roy Saunderson reminding you to keep it real. We'll be right back.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Relationships are the core of great businesses. Your employees are critical to the success of your business. Rideau helps you build positive relationships with your people. Rideau helps you inspire greatness in your people. We do it through the power of recognition and rewards. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. We're committed to our clients and our people. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about: getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio. We're going to continue our conversation with Sean Gardner, our guest today, and just learn some final pointers on the power and influence of social media. Sean, I have felt like we have had everything you want to know about social media in 140 characters at lightning speed spread over an hour. I don't know what it is, but it's been powerful to have heard from you. I know you've had a lot of contributions in the nonprofit area as well, and I'm curious about how you've – maybe you can share an example of how you've been able to assist and contribute to SeeYourImpact.org and who they are.
Yeah, SeeYourImpact.org is where I work right now. It's a great nonprofit. What is different about it and revolutionary at the same time is that when you give, when you select a gift or you select a cause that you want to give to, you actually get an email in 2 weeks, and the email will detail for you how your money was spent, and who you help. Mm. Now, in the world of nonprofits and philanthropy, that truly is a game changer. That's not something that I've heard, you know, any nonprofit doing. It doesn't mean that that's a bad thing. It's just it just truly what makes this particular model different. And what's very powerful about it is that it sort of relates directly to a lot of the concerns that donors have about, like, where's my money going? Is 65% of my money going for overhead? You know, is 25% of it going, you know, for this and 10% for this? No, 100% of what you donate goes directly to the gift or cause that you select. We actually partner with almost 50 nonprofits on 4 continents and in 16 countries.
Wow.
And, yeah. And there is a great piece I did for Huffington Post on Door of Hope, which is a great nonprofit in Sierra Leone, which you know provides It actually provides some good development support to a number of the communities there, like perhaps some bed nets for individuals who to prevent some of the outbreak of malaria and all types of really good so I know bed nets are definitely needed in sub-Saharan Africa and certainly in a lot of equatorial parts of the world. Door of Hope and just so many others dealing with clean water, human trafficking, dealing with education, job creation, and even right here in the United States, there is a nonprofit called Climb Wyoming, and Climb Wyoming provides job creation, not job creation, but I guess you say job assistance for single mothers, you know.
Oh, wow.
Which is awesome. Yeah, that's one of the things that that Apollo Ono talked about. It was a great article in the Huffington Post back in April. I actually had the pleasure of writing that before I started, you know, working for them. I co-wrote it with a great tweeter named Ann Tran. And he just kind of talked about, you know, not by name, but just mentioning the different things, the different causes and gifts that you can select. And he was clearly talking about Climb Wyoming. So this is a truly great organization. And, you know, we've been able to really leverage social media to not just raise money, but to raise awareness and to just really connect with individuals all over the world. So I absolutely love it.
So this comes back to your whole philosophy that influence here must lead to action.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I know that, because you know, certainly this is an influential nonprofit. And every particular nonprofit, as I was telling you guys, every particular person is influential. But it's all about, you know, recognizing, doing that sort of self-accounting. And saying, okay, we have influence in this area, and with these individuals, let's go ahead and use that to try to make that impact. And this is one of the reasons why I work here, strictly because of the word impact. My mother and my father and my family, truly, they're all about using your influence, using what you have to make that impact. That was drilled in me as a, you know, pretty much as a young boy. That it's not about what you acquire and what you accumulate. Yeah, you know, when it comes down to, you know, to affecting human beings, it's all about what you do, and you know, how you use that. So that's sort of the philosophy that I put in my job right here at CU Impact.
Wow, that's amazing, yep. And a great example to our listeners as well of the positive good that can come from social media. Now, I don't want to lose a chance for our listeners. I know this time has been going by so quickly. I don't want to lose the opportunity for you, Sean, to be able to give our listeners URLs and Twitter handles for how people can reach out to you. And where could people best connect with you?
Okay. Now, I know there is not, when you look on Twitter, my Twitter name, which is also my pen name, is Tomorrow Night. Now, it's not T-O, it's just two. The number two, then it's MORROW, and then KNIGHT, Tomorrow Night. So that's
all right.
Yeah, and now on Facebook it's TO, and I only did it on Facebook because you can't start with a number. You know, so but yeah, you can look me up online. If you Google the name Tomorrow Night, it'll pull up Facebook, it'll pull up a number of things, but definitely Twitter is my favorite platform, and you can probably find me on that particular platform more than the others.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you're certainly a knight in shining armor for us today, and we appreciate what you've been contributing. Now, obviously, we're talking about the present right now with all that what you should be doing. How do you think the future looks over the next 1 or 2 years with social media?
Well, you know, I was interviewed a while back, and I said that, you know, I know that cloud computing, you know, will certainly become a big business, and I know that's going to affect social media. And pretty much as I say that, you can look at Google Plus. That Google Plus probably is not interested in Twitter and Facebook. It's probably more interested in Microsoft and Apple. And I say that because Google Plus is cloud-based. If you look at the whole Google products, you know, Picasa, Gmail, it's all cloud-based. And there's a really great post on it by Ruhani Rabin. If you can go to my, you can look me up on Google. It's a post I wrote called "A Few Thoughts on Google Plus." And down the bottom, I actually hyperlink his post. So, you know, I believe that certainly as we move forward, you know, the cloud will become even more important. And I know that's going to affect social media. It could be that maybe one of the others or two particular social media platforms might be merged into some of the others. But, you know, hey, I'm somebody who believes that, particularly as it relates to nonprofits and people, I have no problem with competition and choice.
Yep.
And I like this right now. I think that Google Plus is just infusing a lot of energy and innovation into the social media, you know, the social environment, and that's good. It just means that people have to step their game up.
That's true. That's true. And with our time ticking as it is, Sean, and any last piece of advice for those that really want to make a difference and learn how to get their message out more effectively with social media, what would be one or two key pointers that you would recommend?
Oh, man. Well, the first thing is to kind of sit down before you join, or even you can just join before you really start to follow individuals and start to really do the type of robust engagement that you probably would need to do to kind of get your, you know, your name out there and particularly as it relates to your product or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you do your research. You research people. You research companies. You just research the entire platform itself, how to use it, you know, best practices for your particular field. I think that's just very, very key. And then the second part of it is just go into it really having fun as well. You know, you can't be 100% serious all the time. So, you know, try to find a way to have fun. And that's, you know, you could, well, there's probably many ways to, you know, to do that. So research, definitely. Go ahead, jump in, engage, and make sure that you have fun with it as well.
Well, I tell you, Sean, you've made this a fun interview to talk about what can be a very overwhelming topic in social media. We're so grateful to have had you on the show today, Sean.
Thank you. Thank you so
Absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. Grateful to have you here, Sean. It's been a real pleasure, and we love your energy and what you're doing to do positive, really good things with it as well.
All right. Well, it was a pleasure. Thank you guys so much for having me.
You betcha. Well, for our wonderful listeners, we encourage you to tune in for more next week, where Max and I will continue our discussion on how to build relationships, inspire greatness, and create a workplace where people can thrive. Max and I welcome and encourage your comments and suggestions, so keep emailing us at feedback@realrecognition.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening to Real Recognition Radio. For more information about the Recognition Management Institute, visit us at realrecognition.com. Until next time, this is Roy Saunderson and Max Brown reminding you to keep it real.
Thank you again for tuning in Real Recognition Radio. Please join Roy Saunderson and Max Brown again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel for more motivational tips to help your employees perform better. We'll talk again next week.